been a heavy dose of reality for me and a lot of tough love packed into a powerful punch over these years, understanding these lessons. Being a creative, you gotta learn to roll with these punches and bake them into the dough of your story. Own your fucking story, right? That's it's all a part of you, and that's what it's gonna attract other people because they can vibe to you. They understand how you feel. It makes your story makes them feel not alone. So bake it into the dough of your story. What's going on? You're listening to episode 95 of the Perspective Podcast, and I'm your host, Scotty Russell of Perspective Collective. This show is about carving out time to build something for yourself. I want to share what is and isn't working for me, along with sharing my guest point of view. Also, at the end of each episode, I plug a weekly dose of inspiration of someone crushing it in the community. Stick around because it could be you. And again, this entire series is sponsored by our good friends over at Retro Supply Co. Retro Supply is the leading provider of Illustrator, Photoshop, Procreate, and now Affinity design resources to make your work stand out in clicks or drags of your mouse or stylus. Use promo code SCOTTY20, that's SEOTTY20, to save 20% off all their design resources like brushes, actions, textures, and fonts. And if you want to see me put them to work, I pretty much show the process every week in my Instagram story. So check it out, follow along, ask questions. I'm always happy to help. And also, huge thank you to you. If you've been following along from this whole entire series and you've snagged one of these limited pizza party sticker packs, thank you so much. It means the world to me. It goes right back into the podcast. Or the baby, one of the two, but generally right back into the podcast. So if you want to take advantage of this, I still got some left. Go snag your pizza party sticker pack. Each piece is artwork created from this episode series and each episode artwork. So go snag yours at perspective-collective.com/shop. Slice life, baby. It's time for the final installment of the 3 Life Lessons Learned from Lovey Pizza series. And for me, in my opinion, having pizza 3 weeks in a row is what I would consider to be good fortune. And I'm glad you stuck with me in this episodic adventure. So if you're just jumping in and this is your first time hearing the podcast, and if you're not going to go back the last 2 episodes to listen, let's do a quick refresher. So life lesson number 1 was understanding that you cannot please everyone. You are not pizza. Not everyone's going to love you or your work, and that is perfectly A-okay. Strive to attract the right people to your tribe by creating work that jazzes your spirit. And I'm thinking of like jazz hands going on right now. Spirit fingers. Life lesson number 2 was taking life one slice at a time. Your creative pursuit isn't a sprint. It's a long distance marathon. It's all about the long game. The day-by-day grind requires failing and you gotta keep up. You gotta get back up to the plate and you gotta keep swinging. So now we're on lesson number 3. And again, for me, I feel this one might be the most important as it engulfs your creative pursuits and spills into your everyday mindset on life. But first, before we dive in, let's start with a fun fact. So did you know back in 1995, Pizza Hut introduced the stuffed crust? Pretty insane, right? Fun fact, that's going to be like a party joke. You know, you can win some kind of a party game on that one, but Pizza Hut created a whole campaign of trying to convince you to turn your pizza around and eat the crust first. And guess who the commercial spokesman was? It was good old Donnie Trump. All right, so I steer far away from politics as possible. I hate politics, so don't worry. We're not going to go down that shithole, but just thought it was a fun fact. So you can go Google it, look it up. There's actually a pretty funny GIF about it too, but fun fact for the day. But what I'm trying to get at, for me, the crust was always the hardest thing to eat. And often I would leave the crust on my plate and I would toss it out to the birds outside my mom's kitchen window. Safe to say, the birds on my block loved your boy because I was always tossing out crust. But sometimes we need to learn to love the things we don't like. Sometimes you need to suck it up and learn to love the crust. And that's what today's episode's all about. So you can follow along and find the show notes in a blog format at perspective-collective.com/95. And follow along with episode artwork or whatever the series is going on, or tutorials on me sharing how to work with these Retro Supply products over at Perspective Podcast on Instagram or at perspective_collective. Kill the vowels. Let's go. Well, let's wrap some more context around this so you understand what I'm talking about. To know the crust is to love the crust. But what exactly is the crust I'm referring to? So in my opinion, the crust is those moments in life where you feel, you know, crusty. To be more specific, it's those rough patches where you feel lost, depressed, and insignificant, like you have nothing to offer this world. I get it. You would love to ignore these moments in life and sweep the crumbs under the rug. Totally understandable. However, I'm here to tell you it's important to love the crust. These are the moments and the experiences that are shaping you to who you'll become. And the more you learn to adapt and love them, I think the easier it is to evolve into that person you're supposed to become, you know, that greater version of yourself. Loving the crust allows you to learn and grow, but hating the crust can influence you in a negative Nancy type of way. So let me start off by summarizing my top moments of crust that were necessary in my 30 years of existence so far. So leading off in my top three crusty moments was, number one, my childhood crust. Back in episode 93, part one of the series, please go back and listen if you haven't. It'll make more sense if you follow this along in the correct order. But in this episode, I talked about being bullied, beat up, and losing in everything I participated in growing up. And as shitty as this was, it was crucial in influencing me to become the person I am today. These experiences as a kid taught me how to be accepting and inclusive of those different than me, because I didn't always deal with the people who were very accepting and inclusive of me. It also taught me to appreciate any type of win, big or small. My second crusty moment in life would have been my early adulthood crust. So back in episode 94, part two of this series, I shared my crushed dreams in college and the depressed rock bottom I hit post-graduation. This phase of crust taught me how to stand up after life kicks you to the ground. It also showed me how to take control and make things happen for myself with effort, attitude, and a positive mindset. So the third crusty moment in my life that I've had to learn to love was my mid-adulthood crust. Going into January of 2017, I dealt with a whole new wave of crust that I had never experienced. As a creative and being somewhat my feet wet in my career of Perspective Collective. So again, something I haven't been involved with before. But first off, going into January 2017, the holidays got me again as I packed on a hefty 10 pounds. Damn those Christmas cookies. They always get me. And maybe some holiday drinking with the friends, you know, always catches up to me. But after that, I went into my first extensive surgery on my nose and throat. And, you know, going into this, I wasn't feeling too good about myself. I was feeling flabby and out of shape. And I've mentioned in the past, the gym is really important for me for a good mindset each day. And January 4th was that surgery day, 2017. And the 2 to 3 weeks of recovery after it did a number on my mental health. For the first week and a half, I was glued to a recliner 24 hours a day, isolated from the world. And as an extroverted person, it's really hard not to be around people. I vibe off your energy. And during this, I could barely breathe, eat, sleep, drink, bath, or even use the bathroom. Like, I had packing shoved up my nose. Basically, my whole face was swollen shut and bandaged. It was a mess. I have some photos. I'll toss them in the show notes for this. But during this time, leading up to it, I had prepped a whole 3-part series on the value of side projects going into the new year. And that was actually the last series I've done on the podcast until today. I was super hyped to drop it. And I was stoked as hell about the artwork that I made for it as well, the episode artwork. But sadly, Once I hit publish, things didn't go as expected. All I heard were crickets when the episodes dropped, and, you know, the art that I posted on Instagram ended up kind of tanking as well. Really bummed me out. My pizza tendencies kicked back in as I was tying my self-worth to my performance, all right? Trying to be pizza, create for the masses. I needed you to love me and love my work. And it wasn't happening. And there were four lethal ingredients in this cocktail that ended up fucking my head up and hurting my mental health during this time. And maybe you've gone through some of these too. So the first ingredient was 3 weeks in a row of poor engagement of something I poured my soul into. Like, that really beat me down. Ingredient number two in this cocktail was almost 2 months of eating shitty. There was no gym going on. I couldn't work out. And you know, I was feeling like the nutty professor, Professor Clump. You know, I was not feeling good about myself. Next, ingredient number three, Iowa had a super weird, rainy, cold, and gloomy winter during this time. It wasn't your typical festive, snowy season. And that just weighed on me. And then four, being isolated from human interaction. Again, as an extrovert, this was torture. So all four of these things combined really drove me into the ground. But what amplified everything was being doped up out of my mind on heavy painkillers. It was seriously like every 2 to 3 hours, I had to get my fix on, you know, something heavy. It was oxycodone or Oxycontin, something. It sucked. It was liquid. It was a nightmare. I don't need to go too much into detail about that. But all of this had me slowly slipping away and sliding into this dark and depressed funk where I was just this lost and lonely zombie boy. I found myself wondering, how could pursuing something like Perspective Collective, something I love so much, I put so much of my heart and soul into it over the years, and it's brought me some happiness, but how could something I love this much make me suffer? And after all the small wins I've had with Perspective Collective, I still contemplated during this time of quitting it because the pain was just too much. Like, how could I do this and just feel so shitty? Why would I put myself through this? And clearly I wasn't myself. I wasn't thinking right. And after bottling up these emotions for those 2 weeks, and as I have done in the past, is always bottle up my emotions, I finally hit a breaking point and I just needed someone to listen. The first person I sought out was my best friend, which was my wife, Emily. I told her I didn't feel like Scotty and I had no idea what was wrong with me. And this was hard, okay? It was hard for me to get comfortable talking about myself, my feelings. I grew up always getting picked on, so I had to have this armor around me, but there's chinks in my armor, and it's okay to talk to people. And that initial conversation wasn't much, but it started the momentum for me to kind of open up. I then went to my mastermind group and shared what I was going through. This made me hella nervous at first to put myself on display, this vulnerability, but it felt incredible. It felt amazing when my rock star friends responded with similar experiences. And it felt empowering just knowing I wasn't alone. That's the best thing about seeking out someone to listen, because most of the time you'll feel that you're not alone with whatever demon you're facing. And knowing this, I built all this momentum and I poured everything I had and channeled it into episode 25, which was dealing with creative funks and feeling invisible. If you want to listen to that one, if you need to pick me up, go to perspective-collective.com/25. And when I hit publish and sent this one off into the world, I had zero expectations. And after that three-part series flopped, it was solely just me getting some type of relief, getting this off my chest and putting it into the world. I had no idea what it would happen, how people like you would consume it and react. And to my surprise, the feedback I got from people like you was absolutely outrageous and overwhelming, all in a good way. I was shocked by how many people felt like me, alone with the demons that impeded them from pursuing their creative work or becoming the best version of themselves, or even just fucking getting out of bed in the morning or going to sleep at night. You know, that's the kind of stuff I was sharing and hearing back from people. Your response and you reaching out to me to share your story is what really was the final measure of pulling me out of this dark place that I've fallen victim to. So the crust of 2017 helped me learn that there's always going to be more crust that lies ahead, You have to continue to push through and not be afraid to talk about it and seek help from others that you trust. Have those safe vices, those safe outlets of people that you know won't judge you. Like, and I won't judge you. So in order to get to those sunny days, you have to deal with some type of shit along the way. And when I break this talk down and get to this section of lesson number three, I break things down into three sub points. And the first sub point is all about the shit in the sunshine. Do you ever have those moments where everything is clicking, when you're in the zone and people are just vibing to your work? You feel like everything you put out is just magic, like everything you touch is gold. Well, trust me, that's the sunshine. That's the sunny days. You're high on life and there's a little bit of swagger in your step, okay? When you've been a loser your entire life, getting a taste of victory and having this swagger is just hella sweet. I mean, there's nothing better. Honestly, it's a high to me. I feel in order to appreciate when things are going right, however, you have to know how it feels when you can't catch a break. And those are the gaps between the highlight reels, between the sunny days, those gaps. And we have to be mindful of them. In episode 58, I dive deep on this topic of the shit and the sunshine, the gaps between the highlight reels, if you want to go back and reference that. But these crusty gaps are where you feel like the shit on the bottom of that bum scuffed up Nikes that we've talked about recently. Life then, if you think about it, it's truly a roller coaster. It's filled with highs and lows, and you don't know when you're going to feel or experience that next high or that next low. So to experience the highs and the sunshine, you have to deal with the lows. And when you look on the bright side, pun intended, these moments of crusty shit are temporary phases you'll get through. And if you're open to them, they are jam-packed with learning opportunities. And since a new set of crust is always lurking on the horizon, it's important to have something that lights up your soul to focus on. And that brings us to the sub-main point number two, is find your suffer. I've mentioned this one before. How could something you love so much, like me, it was Perspective Collective, make you suffer? Why could something you love make you feel like shit? And this goes into relationships as well. It all boils down to passion. You know, something that you love, something that lights your soul up. So stick with me on this. You see, passion has been a buzzword that's just drove me batshit crazy over the last few years. There's so many books and courses and workshops and speakers that target motivation junkies looking for a quick fix, and they just profit off people. And I can say this shit because I was a motivation junkie and I was looking for quick fixes. I'd buy all the books. I got every Tony Robbins book he's ever put out, Zig Ziglar, all that stuff. You know, I need that. But for me, passion just became that buzzword, and sayings like find what you love and let it kill you is borderline insanity to me. In fact, almost all quotes surrounding passion straight up annoy me. And I keep referencing episodes, but you know, I'm going to do that because in my talks, I reference episodes. Like that's what fuels my talks, is I find these heavy hitter topics that I think provide you value and things that people need to hear. It's the lessons I needed to hear 5 years ago. You know, so that's why I reference these episodes. And it wasn't until episode 43, perspective-collective.com/43, when my design brother from another mother, Jason Cray, gave me one of the best definitions that caught my attention and just blew my mind. It just rattled that cage inside of me. And in this conversation, Jason simply stated, passion is what you're willing to suffer for. Let that sink in for a second. And to wrap some context around this, he and I, we were referring to worthwhile suffering in air quotes. So for me, if I'm going to paint a vivid picture for you, I am willing to have worthwhile suffering for my dream of pursuing Perspective Collective. And this worthwhile suffering looks like me being willing to work a late night or get up early as hell to hit a deadline. You know, whether it's a client, personal project, or, you know, the podcast. It means me FOMOing and missing out while others party because next week's episode needs to be completed. Again, I'm a very extroverted person and people make me feel alive being around people. So staying in on a weekend and working on shit is really hard, but you know, I know I'm working towards a greater purpose with it. Something else that is worthwhile suffering is dealing with the hater, having anger towards everyone reaching success back in episode one of the series. You know, dealing with the hater who tries to tear me down. In my mind, I'm like, fuck them. I'm in the arena. I'm putting myself on the line. I'm showing up each day. I'm willing to suffer, feeling like crap. Even if it's someone I respect that's trying to tear me down, I've had that before. It's worth it. And something else I'm willing to suffer for is facing that inner critic during the crusty times. We're in the comparison trap and Mr. Hyde is trying to convince me I'm worthless. These are all worthwhile sufferings for me in pursuing Perspective Collective in that dream. And, you know, that all goes hand in hand with pursuing something I'm passionate about. I love this. I'm stoked to wake up each day and pursue it. I have a hard time sleeping at night because my brain is going wild with what could I do next? How could I improve my situation while also providing value to someone else? And having that thing that gets you excited to roll out of bed 70, 80% of the time makes pushing through the shit, those crusty days, that much easier to get to the sunshine. And I think the best way to remind yourself about these wins going on and the good things happening in your life brings me to the sub main point number 3 is all about hoarding your victories. If you're like me, you know, I appreciate winning, but celebrating wins, big or small, on the other hand, do not come easy. I've always been triggered to focus on what's next. I have this what's next mentality that I suffer for, a Superman syndrome. I could do it all. And, you know, I focus on what's next instead of living right here and enjoying the now when something badass happens in my life. So when I'd hit a milestone in the past, I never took a moment to enjoy it. To me, my eyes were on a bigger prize and I'd brush this small little win off or big win and I'd focus on the next. You know, my first time speaking in front of 800 plus people at Creative South. You know, I got done. I was alive. I was so stoked off adrenaline, but my mind was like, what's next? What's the next stage? What's the next client project I can work on? I never celebrated that moment. It's hard to remember it. And when you don't celebrate things, big wins or small victories, whatever, it's an endless cycle of delayed gratification and it begins to just wear you down. In my opinion, it's super important to not only have something that lights up your soul, but to celebrate when something good comes from pursuing it. And after this 2017 funk, I don't even know where this came from. It might have been something I heard in a book or a podcast episode. But after that funk, I randomly started a running list on my Wunderlist app called Good Things in 2017. And I would put any victory on it, big or small, I hoard everything, whether it was a talk in front of, you know, 5 people in my mom's women's group and helping them learn how to do at-home workouts for women over 55. You know, that was a win for me. Or if it was a talk at a conference of over 500 people, like that's a big win. It definitely went in the list. Or other things like a good day of sales, or you know, if I had a really good conversation with someone like you through email or someone like you reached out to let me know this episode of the podcast made a difference for you and or you landed a client project because of, you know, one of the strategies we talk about with the guests, like that is a win. And I write that shit down and I bask in that. I appreciate every second and minute of it and I force myself to celebrate it. And generally, that's with pizza. And so again, this is called hoarding your victories. Trust me. This works, and it saved me at the end of 2017 where I felt this that depressed dip coming back around. So going into the new year, you know how people share their Instagram top 9 posts, okay? Somehow that online URL goes and scavenges throughout your whole Instagram and plucks your top most engaged posts. Well, for me, seeing everybody post their dope-ass moments of 2017 was really making me sink deeper and deeper into the comparison trap at that time. And it was just people who had massive speaking events or people whose just like art was popping off. They got a book deal. They taught massive workshops. They landed a huge client gig for something like Google. All these things, you know, started making me feel like I wasn't doing enough. And the Mr. Hyde within me, you know, was convincing me what I did wasn't worthwhile in comparison to people I follow and was putting on a pedestal at that moment. So this is what I did. I went back to that list and that 2017 good things in 2017. And I tallied up all the talks I gave, the workshops I taught, product sales, client projects and commissions off that I had, etc. All the good things, awesome packages people have sent my way, like little care packages, all of it. And looking at this list from, you know, a bigger perspective, it showed me two things. So bear with me. The first thing that, you know, kind of breaking down this list and going through it all, it allowed me to silence the inner critic within me. So hoarding all these wins showed me that I've done some pretty rad things in 2017, and I had my best year yet. My creative path and its timing, yours as well, is different than everyone else that you compare yourself to. Okay, you can never compare your beginnings to someone else's middle. I believe I got that from John Acuff. You know, things are going to happen when they're supposed to. If you and me, we just keep busting our ass in the right direction, put in our best foot forward each day, keep up getting up to the plate and keep swinging. And the second thing I learned from, you know, looking at this list from a bigger perspective is that looking at and hoarding your victories shows measurable growth. I'm a very, very goal-driven person. And I set my targets high as hell at the beginning of the year. And I have very smart goals and very actionable, very specific, measurable, and time-bound and realistic. That's the R in there. I totally said that all out of order. But when I looked at this list from a bigger picture with my goals in mind of X amount of talks in a year, X amount of workshops, you know, I was able to see that I made measurable growth in these areas. So progress is progress. Hoarding your victories with your goals in mind makes a huge difference in fighting off or bouncing back from those waves of crust that try to tear you down. So I want to leave you with some final words of encouragement. Rise up to the challenge. Simple enough. You and I, we are the lucky ones. We get to create for a living, and I'd rather do this than anything else in life. Okay, this is what I'm meant here to do, and I'm so stoked I finally found my way and stumbled across this path of like 26-year-old after feeling so lost and confused and worthless for all those years. But yes, we're lucky, but creating for a living, being a creative, it can be a blessing and a curse. You're gonna deal with adversity. You're gonna fail and fall on your ass over and over again. Yet you always have the ability to rise up to the challenge and respond. So these three life lessons learned from loving pizza have not been easy. Okay, understanding that I'm not pizza, taking life one slice at a time and learning to love the crust. It's all a part of being a creative and finding your path and building a blossom creative career and building relationships. All this shit goes together. It's been a heavy dose of reality for me and a lot of tough love packed into a powerful punch over these years, understanding these lessons. Being a creative, you got to learn to roll with these punches and bake them into the dough of your story. Own your fucking story. Hey, it's all a part of you, and that's what it's gonna attract other people because they can vibe to you. They understand how you feel. It makes your story makes them feel not alone. So bake it into the dough of your story. Do this, and I think you're gonna crush whatever life throws at you. So again, keep swinging and eat lots of pizza. Ladies and gentlemen, PC family, we did it. Thank you so much for sticking with me through this episodic adventure. I would love to know what you think about this and maybe other talks I've done in the past. Maybe I can break these down too in a podcast episode format for you to listen, just because I know many of you are probably never going to hear me speak. And now with the sun into this world, I'm going to be way more selective about the places I do speak. And if you have like an AIGA or, you know, you have some ties at a conference or some type of corporate environment where you think I could come and speak on creativity and, you know, some of these issues that are hard to talk about, you know, please hit me up, Scotty@perspective-collective.com. I would love to provide some value to your audience. Also, if you want to shoot me a book deal on these three life lessons so I can make this dream a reality of being a book illustrator and writer, I would love to publish a book one day. This is high on the bucket list, so this is one that I think would make a good book, in my biased opinion. And one more time, thank you again for snagging up these sticker packs to celebrate this series. I really hope you love them. Please share them with me everywhere that you slap them, legally or illegally, but preferably legally, because I don't want to see you get in trouble. All right, be a good person. But again, it'd mean the world to me if you would show me where you share these. Tag me on Instagram, Perspective Podcast, or Perspective_Collective, Kill the Vowels on Instagram. Moving on to this week's dose of inspiration. And this one goes out to my homie, my brother, the Asian sensation of Terrence Tang of Tin Lun Studio. Terrence is not only an amazing friend, this dude is a killer father, a killer role model in general, but he's also an amazing calligrapher, a designer, and videographer out of Houston, Texas. His merch game is amazing, and he has a crazy story I would eventually love to share with you on the podcast one day, so I need to get him as a guest on the show. But check him out in the meantime. That's Terrence Tang at Tin Lun Studio on Instagram. Love you, Terrence. And if you're enjoying what you hear and you want to support the growth of the show, would you consider giving it a rating and review over on iTunes or aka Apple Podcasts if you haven't gotten up to date with the new name change? It seriously makes a big difference and getting the show discovered and climbing up the rank. And I would love to give you a public shout out and send some love back your way, like this week's rating and review from Flori Fama from Argentina. And this one is titled Inspirational and Encouraging. Flori states, I found this podcast just a few days ago. She wrote this in March. And I can't stop listening to the episodes. They are so great, filled with important and useful information, especially for artists who are starting out on social media or don't have a big following. You can see that we're all the same and we can reach our goals if you just keep at it. Honestly, this is a podcast you can't miss. Flori, thank you so much. I know you're now a part of the Facebook group family. We've had a couple micro interactions again on social media. Thank you so much. I sincerely appreciate you taking the time to show me some love, and I hope you appreciate the love back. And as I wrap things up, I want to give a huge thanks to my podcast editor, Anya Brennan, and my show notes editor, Paige Garland. I could not do this without you two ladies. You ladies are the shit. And a huge thank goes to Nick Jenkins of Bluka for all the dope theme music you hear on the show. Check them out at SoundCloud or on Instagram at Bluka, that's B-L-O-O-K-A-H, and I've been sprinkling in some new music for him that is off of an upcoming EP coming up soon. And as you finish off this week strong, I want to encourage you to keep showing up, keep putting in the work, and keep creating. You got this.